Welcome to Radio Collage. Based on the popular live collage performances, Radio Collage is an audio sampler featuring back-to-back performances by Interlochen Arts Academy students from several arts areas.
Hi, I'm Dana Nelson, a senior trombonist at the Interlochen Arts Academy, and I recently had the chance to perform Mio's French Suite with the Academy Band. With each movement of the piece came a different challenge. Time, intonation, and rhythm were some, but after a lot of hard work and individual dedication, we were able to pull it off. Enjoy our performance of Mio's French Suite.
Thank you. You're listening to Radio Collage. And now, Ravel's Trois Chansons, performed by the Academy Chamber Singers.
Thank you. Kendra Pratt, a senior at Interlochen Arts Academy, and this sound portrait was based off of an interview I took of a woman who volunteers on campus named Elfie, and she's a very quiet woman, so it took a little bit of time to get to the roots of her, but when I did, I found a really lovely story.
First, she had tried cotton picking.
Well, you need three fingers, a thumb and two fingers, to pick cotton, because you have to get in there and pull the cotton out like this. Well, the first thing I did, I pricked all three fingers.
This is Elfie.
Well, that didn't work too well. That's why the farmer decided that driving a tractor would be better for me. this was a pretty big farm, and their youngest boy was taking some German in the high school.
Elfie immigrated from Austria with her parents to a small farming town, and she spoke no English.
And he was given the job to teach me how to drive a tractor. So he put me on this little Ford tractor, and, he said what to do. You know, this is where you, the ignition, you put the key in there. And we were riding along very nicely, and all of a sudden his mother yells from the house, and he said, "Lawrence, there's a phone call for you." He jumps off, leaves me on the tractor. I didn't know how to stop. Now, I looked down, and there were four pedals there, and I thought, okay, one of them must be a brake.
Elfie came to St. Florine, Alabama in 1952 when she was 16.
I had no voice. I was 16, so I had to go with my parents. Mm-hmm.
She started with, but Elfie warmed up to the place.
I loved it in Alabama.
I found that Elfie understands that language can be an honest barrier, but not an indomitable one.
You watch and listen, and you just kind of go with the flow. It's amazing how much you can talk with your hands.
Mm-hmm. Nowadays, in her retired years, Elfie spends her time volunteering at Interlochen's costume shop, the medical center, and the neonatal intensive care unit at Munson Medical Center. Elfie makes baby dolls for mothers that must be separated from their prematurely born babies at birth in the cases where they are hospitalized separately.
I just make the faces, put a knit hats, and put a little blankie around it. So they give those little dolls that I make to the moms, and they're encouraged to hold them up to their chest. And then when they come to Munson to visit the baby, we take the doll and put it in the incubator because it has mom's scent on it. I don't know, it made me feel good that I'm doing something that's helpful.
That's beautiful.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. In English or German or whatever language you speak, I think it rings true that the way Elfie gives service to her community, even just her quiet, compassionate demeanor, speak much louder than any words.
You're listening to Radio Collage, back-to-back performances by students of the Interlochen Arts Academy. Up next, excerpts from a work by Academy senior Chris Bell, a composition major. Here are the first two movements from his string quartet number 1. Thank you.
You're listening to Radio Collage, back-to-back performances by students of the Interlochen Arts Academy.
Red Riding Hood. Once upon a time, there was a dear little girl who was loved by everyone who looked at her, but most of all by her grandmother, and there was nothing that she would not have given to the child. Once she gave her a little cap of red velvet, which suited her so well that she would never wear anything else. So she was always called Little Red Riding Hood. One day, her mother said to her,
"Come, Little Red Riding Hood. Here is a piece of cake and a bottle of wine. Take them to your grandmother. She is ill and weak, and they will do her good. Set out before it gets hot, and when you are going, walk nicely and quietly, and do not run off the path, or you may fall and break the bottle, and then your grandmother will get nothing. And when you go into her room, don't forget to say good morning, and don't peep into every corner before you do it."
"I will take great care," said Little Red Riding Hood to her mother, and gave her hand on it.
The grandmother lived out in the wood, half a league from the village, and just as Little Red Riding Hood entered the wood, a wolf met her. Little Red Riding Hood did not know what a wicked creature he was, and was not at all afraid of him.
"Good day, Little Red Riding Hood."
"Thank you kindly, wolf."
"Whither away so early, Little Red Riding Hood?"
"To my grandmother's."
"What have you got in your apron?"
"Cake and wine. Yesterday was baking day, so poor sick grandmother is to have something good to make her stronger."
"Where does your grandmother live, Little Red Riding Hood?"
"A good quarter of a league further on in the wood. Her house stands under the three large oak trees. The nut trees are just below. You surely must know it,"
replied Little Red Riding Hood. The wolf thought to himself,
"What a tender young creature. What a nice plump mouthful she will be better to eat than the old woman. I must act craftily so as to catch both.
So he walked for a short time by the side of Little Red Riding Hood, and then he said,
See, Little Red Riding Hood, how pretty the flowers are about here. Why do you not look round? I believe, too, that you do not hear how sweetly the little birds are singing. You walk gravely along as if you were going to school, while everything else out here in the wood is merry.
Little Red Riding Hood raised her eyes, and when she saw the sunbeams dancing here and there through the trees, and the pretty flowers growing everywhere, she thought,
Suppose I take Grandmother a fresh nosegay. That would please her, too. It is so early in the day that I shall still get there in good time.
And so she ran far from the path into the wood to look for flowers. And whenever she had picked one, she fancied that she saw a still prettier one farther on, and ran after it, and so got deeper and deeper into the wood. Meanwhile, the wolf ran straight to the grandmother's house and knocked at the door.
Who is there?
Little Red Riding Hood,
replied the wolf.
She is bringing cake and wine. Open the door.
Lift the latch,
called out the grandmother.
I am too weak and cannot get up.
The wolf lifted the latch, the door sprang open, and without saying a word, he went straight to the grandmother's bed and devoured her. Then he put on her clothes, dressed himself in her cap, laid himself in bed, and drew the curtains. Little Red Riding Hood, however, had been running about picking flowers, and when she had gathered so many that she could carry no more, she remembered her grandmother and set out on her way to her. She was surprised to find the cottage door standing open, and when she went into the room, she had such a strange feeling that she said to herself,
Oh dear, how uneasy I feel today, and at other times I like being with Grandmother so much.
She called out,
Good morning,
but received no answer. So she went to the bed and drew back the curtains. There lay her grandmother with her cap pulled far over her face and looking very grave.
Oh, Grandmother, what big ears you have.
The better to hear you with, my child.
But, Grandmother, what big eyes you have.
The better to see you with, my dear.
But, Grandmother, what large hands you have.
The better to hug you with.
Oh, but, Grandmother, what a terrible big mouth you have.
The better to eat you with.
And scarcely had the wolf said this, then with one bound he was out of bed and swallowed up Little Red Riding Hood. When the wolf had appeased his appetite, he lay down again in bed, fell asleep, and began to snore very loud. The huntsman was just passing the house and thought to himself,
How the old woman is snoring. I must see if she wants anything.
So he went into the room, and when he came to the bed, he saw that the wolf was lying in it.
Do I find you here, you old sinner?
Said he.
I have long sought you out.
Then, just as he was going to fire, it occurred to him that the wolf might have devoured the grandmother, and that she might still be saved. So he did not fire, but took a pair of scissors and began to cut open the stomach of the sleeping wolf. When he had made two snips, he saw the Little Red Riding Hood shining, and then he made two snips more, and the little girl sprang out crying,
How frightened I have been! How dark it was inside the wolf!
And after that, the aged grandmother came out alive also, but scarcely able to breathe. Little Red Riding Hood, however, quickly fetched great stones with which they filled the wolf's belly, and when he awoke, he wanted to run away, but the stones were so heavy that he collapsed at once and fell dead. Then all three were delighted. The huntsman drew off the wolf's skin and went home with it. The grandmother ate the cake and drank the wine which Little Red Riding Hood had brought and revived, but Little Red Riding Hood thought to herself,
As long as I live, I will never, by myself, leave the path to run into the wood when my mother has forbidden me to do so.
And Little Red Riding Hood went joyously home, and no one ever did anything to harm her again. The end.
That was Little Red Riding Hood, performed by students of the Academy Theater Department. You're listening to Radio Collage, back-to-back performances by students of the Interlochen Arts Academy.
Hi, my name is Lily Honigberg, and I am a violinist completing my senior year at Interlochen. In the end of April, I was fortunate enough to sit as concert mistress in the Interlochen Arts Academy Orchestra's performance of Ravel's La Valse. Ravel originally intended the work to be a ballet, but it is now often performed as a concert piece. Ravel plays with the idea of a waltz throughout the entire piece. This work was perhaps the most difficult in our repertoire this year. Please enjoy Ravel's La Valse.
Hi, my name is Brian Bibb from the Interlochen Arts Academy. I'm a senior saxophonist from Miami, Florida. This next tune you're going to hear is called Freckleface by Sammy Nestico, and it was written for the Count Basie Orchestra. The Interlochen Jazz Ensemble played this piece for our last concert cycle, and it's one of my favorite pieces because of how laid back the rhythm section is and how behind the beat the horns play. I hope you enjoy our recording of Freckleface. Thank you.
You've been listening to Radio Collage, an audio sampler of performances by Interlochen Arts Academy students. Production assistance came from
Ryan Apathy,
Dana Nelson,
and Scott Kennedy.
This is Classical IPR.